Thank you, Mr. Ferrier. Good morning, brethren. Welcome to any of our guests that we may have, our visitors, and to those that are connected via our local webcast. Let's start out today with a question. How many of you have ever been in battle? Okay, this is a trick question. How many of you have ever been in battle? We should see every hand here. Because, brethren, every one of us here today and all of those who are gathered around this world to honor God and worship Him this day on the Sabbath, we are constantly at battle, each and every day. And we should be well aware of that. We are at battle with the God of this world, Satan the devil, who is the very adversary of the God that we serve, the one true God, the Creator God. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians 6. We're going to start in verse 10 through 13. That's Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 13, where we are reminded not only of the tools we need to don as we head out into this daily battle that we fight, but more importantly, where this battle originates. We were admonished just a few weeks ago by Mr. Fogelson about knowing our enemy. And so often we are quick to lose sight of who that enemy is, for he remains unseen in the shadows, working behind the scenes. When we lose sight of this enemy, it can become easy to look at those around us as the cause of our struggles and difficulties. And while at face value it may seem as though they are to blame, they are most often pawns, blinded, if you will, by this enemy. Most are not even aware. Some don't even believe in his existence. But we, brethren, are blessed because our eyes have been opened to the power of the living God, through the power of the living God, by his very Spirit, working in us to be aware of this enemy and how he works. Now, before I ramble on, let's go ahead and read in Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in that evil day, and having done so, to stand. Brethren, we cannot allow ourselves to lose sight of where our battle originates and where our fight should be focused. We cannot enter this battle without the armor that we are admonished to put on. If we do so, then it is written that we are at risk of succumbing to the enemy's wiles. And just like the world around us, we will be carried away by our own lusts and into the sin that can so easily ensnare us. This year's youth studies are focusing on the armor of God. And there are many different elements to this armor that are addressed in the following scriptures that we can read there in Ephesians 6. Far too many for this short message to cover, so I won't even be the fool to try and attempt to do so. Besides, there are others already diligently working on lessons and studies to help equip our youth with the understanding of this armor that they, and in fact all of us, must wear and put on if we are to successfully battle this enemy. The armor that we need as we walk this walk as the disciples of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. However, there is a valuable starting point that we can read in the very next verse, verse 14. If you've not lost your place yet, good. If so, please turn back to Ephesians 6, where we left off at the end of verse 13. Because for this message here today, brethren, we are going to take a look, and a good look, in fact, a word-by-word look, if you will, or study, at just the very first part of verse 14. We will look at and dissect four words specifically that are found in this context. And in so doing, I hope that we can glean a better and more firm understanding of how we are to prepare ourselves prior to putting on this armor. Let's title this, The Truth That Binds. Now, there's a lot of detailed definitions that I will read here today, and for the sake of time, I will probably go through rather quickly. If you're a note taker, you may want to leave a lot of room. There are also other Old Testament parallels that I will not address here today for the sake of time. But if you are interested, please feel free to see me after services and we can look over all the references that I have. So first, let's begin there in Ephesians 6 and verse 14 and read just the first half. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Our first word then is to stand, which just so happens to be the last word that we read in verse 13. It seems straightforward at first look, but let's look at it a little differently today. The Greek word used here is histame, that's Strong's 2476, stand, to cause or to make stand, as in we stand up these mic stands or we stand up that thing. That's an action that we have. Or to bid to stand by. In fact, that's the very task that our song leaders have each and every week when they get us to rise up out of our seats and sing praises to God. But there's more to it. It's also to stand in the presence of others as in honor, as if you were standing in front of the Sanhedrin or if you were standing in front of the president to present yourself. And also to place or to set, as I said, to set up the mic stand or so forth. But then we can get into something that has a little more meaning. Stand also can be interpreted to make firm, to fix or establish, to cause or person a thing to keep its place, to stand, to keep instead, to keep intact as of family or a kingdom, or to escape as in safety, to establish something or to stand, to uphold or sustain the authority or force of anything, to set in place or a balance, to weigh money as in the times before there were coinage. But primarily it is to stand, and can be to stand by, stand near or by someone, but to stop, to stand still, and ones the words I like, to stand immovable, stand firm, as in the foundation of a building, to continue safe, sound, and to stand unashamed, unharmed, to stand ready or prepared, to be of a steadfast mind, of quality, one who does not hesitate or does not waver. It speaks to our resolve to stand firm and prepare ourselves for battle. Now, let's move on to our second word. Verse 14 again. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Loins. Now, that's not a word that we hear of very much these days, unless perhaps you are a butcher. Webster's defines this word as that portion of the body at each side of the spine between the last rib and the hip. And we might do well to think of it as the very core of our being. The Greek word used in the New Testament reference is osphus. That's Strong's number 3751. And it says loins, referring to the hip or loin or the two loins, the side portion, again, next to the spine. There are other scriptures in the Old Testament that use a slightly different application of this word. I'm not going to reference any of those New Testament scriptures. However, there is one application of the definition that I found applicable, especially in the light of the study of the armor of God, the sword of the Spirit. The Hebrew word used in that context is yarek or yarak, and it refers to the thigh, or the side, a little bit below the loin, but the outside of the thigh where the sword was to be worn. And also in the ancient Hebrew, they thought of this area, this core, as being the seat of the procreative powers. But let's move on now to the third word. Again, we're reading in Ephesians 6, verse 14. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about the truth, with truth. Girt, or gird. Again, a word that we don't hear very often these days. But for those of you who do or have done any heavy warehouse work or lifting, think about the elastic band that you wear around your waist to hold things together. That's one of the references in the Old Testament of then they would gird themselves before they went into battle or before they went to work. It's kind of a safety issue. Would prevent a lot of hernias, if you think about it. Women, yes, it's a terrible thing to think about, but the old dreaded girdle has the same connotation. The Greek word here would be peridzonomi, P-E-R-I-Z-O-N-N-U-M-I. That's a long one. And it's Strong's, number 4024, to gird, to be girded about, to have girded, or to girt, to fasten garments as with a girdle or belt, to gird oneself, and the metaphor with truth as a girdle, to equip oneself with knowledge of the truth, and to bind it to yourself. Basically, as it says, to bind or to be bound, holding securely that which should be remain inside. Lastly, brethren, let's look at one more word. We'll finish here with verse 14. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. This word we should know well, for it is timeless, truth. In the Greek, it is aletheia. That's Strong's number 225. And it is truth. Truly, true, verily. Jesus spoke many times where he said, verily, verily, I say unto you. Objectively, it's what is true in any matter under consideration. Truly, in truth, or according to truth. Of a truth. In reality, in fact, and a certainty. What is true in things pertaining to God and the duties of men, moral and religious truth. The true notions of God, which are open to human reasoning without his supernatural intervention. The truth as taught in the Christian religion, respecting God and the execution of his purpose through Christ, and respecting the duties of men, opposing alike to the superstition of the Gentiles and the inventions of the Jews, and the corrupt opinions and precepts of false teachers among the Christian community. Subjectively, it is considered truth as personal excellence. And one last one, which perhaps is my most favorite because it speaks to our personal application. Truth. The candor of mind, which is free from affection. Now, that's not physical affection. That's intent. What I intend to give to you or to affect you or for you to affect me. Free from pretense, simulation, falsehood, deceit. We should not have such things in our mind, in our thoughts, or our deeds. They should all be based on truth. So truth, brethren, should be our very mantra, if you will, in all things. First and foremost, in the understanding of the Word of God. For as we can read in John 17:17, you don't necessarily have to turn there, sanctify them through your truth, for your word is truth. This truth is what binds us all together. It's what we feel when we go into a group of strangers of like mind and feel the friendship and the camaraderie. Again, it's that truth that binds. On a side note, if you want to read and study more about truth, I suggest you read 1 and 2 John. I believe you'll find that he uses and speaks of truth more than in any other book that we can read. So truth, it should be reflected in our conduct, in our conversation, in all that we do in every facet of our lives. It should be more than looking good, the visible garment that we wear as we go to and fro, worshiping God as he commands. That would be the outward man that all will see. But truth should be what we are, embedded in the very core of our being, bound to us, if you will, inside of us, part and parcel of the inner man. That is the truth that binds. So in conclusion, brethren, we have really spent a good deal of time here, perhaps more than I should, or not, looking at just one 9-word segment of one scripture contained in the word of truth. Therein dissecting these 4 little words, to stand, to girt your loins, and to stand for truth. They're little individual words that should have a huge impact on how we prepare ourselves for the battle we face each and every day as we walk this walk of faith. Now that we have studied these 4 words, we should have a much broader understanding of their full meaning and application in the context where we find them. To stand firm in our truth and that has been revealed to us. If we do this, when we put on the armor, it will fit us securely and it will serve the purpose for which God intended. So let's just read this one last time with these thoughts in mind. Ephesians 6 and verse 14. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth that binds. Brethren, let's be about our Father's business.